Welcome back to our library. It means it's time for the Bible's Greatest Mysteries. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we are delighted to be back in here recording some programs because our guest in the next 4 weeks is one of the best writers, best researchers that I have ever met.
Absolutely. He has really inspired the work and the research that we do, and we are honored to have had the opportunity to talk with him. And actually, this interview goes back to last July. He was one of the first guests we contacted when we knew that Tom Horn was on board with this show. Things were beginning to work towards getting the program launched, and so we had the opportunity to talk with our guest, and we finally have an opportunity to slot him into the schedule.
I think it's so exciting. Dr. Michael Heiser has written a whole bunch of books, written a lot of papers, given a lot of talks at conferences and at professional meetings. He is a man with letters, all like an alphabet after his name practically, because he is such a scholar and he's got the degrees to prove it. Mm-hmm. He reads the ancient languages and he contributed to the Faith Life Bible.
Oh, yes, the study notes for the books of Genesis and certain mm-hmm. other parts of the Old Testament really have Mike's influence on it. And that is really helping to change the way many of us in the church today understand the Old Testament, which helps make some of these mysterious parts of the Bible suddenly come to life and make sense.
They really have, and much of what Mike has written, you and I have gotten so excited and still are excited by his words, by his research, by his findings, but also by his conclusions, because he tries to put himself into the mindset of the people to whom these words were originally written.
Right. Without that understanding of this divine or supernatural conflict that is going on all around us and has been going on since before Eden, we can tend to look at the Bible as just a list of do-nots for no good reason, that God is just sort of arbitrary and just sort of picking stuff out random and picking winners mm-hmm. and losers among the people of the earth. And, okay, you get the land and you get kicked out. But there's really a lot more to it when we see mm-hmm. the Bible and see the world through the eyes of the prophets.
Absolutely. When you understand that, then suddenly the Bible makes sense. And you understand why the Lord said, take everyone out in this city you can spare some. There was a reason for it.
So that is what we're going to focus on over the next 4 weeks. We'll deal with a number of key issues that Mike Heiser has brought to the table for us in the church. He's been very gracious in sharing his research over the years. Mm-hmm. He's made much of it available on the internet for free. He's very giving of his time to talk with us and share his research with us. And so a number of the topics, we've got in the bag some of the information and the topics that we're going to discuss with Mike.
We're going to take a look at the bag to see what the first program is going to be all about. Well, you know how Tom Horn is. He always gives us our assignment. So we've already let the cat out of the bag. Let the pug out of the bag.
Mike and his wife, Drina, are fans of pugs. They've got the two now. Norman is the new one.
Uh-huh. I know.
Maury and Norman.
Well, here you go. We are going to see exactly what this first program is going to cover.
A lot
of good stuff.
Yes, this was a wonderful conversation. So I'm glad we put this one, teed this one up first. This one is a subject that is often considered and dismissed as fringe by many in the church. The subject of the giants.
Yeah.
In Genesis chapter 6, and then their influence throughout the rest of the Bible.
It's not fringe. It's another one of those, once you understand this, you understand where demons came from, you understand a lot in Bible prophecy, and you also understand why the Canaanites, mm-hmm. the peoples who lived in the land of Israel when Israel came back from Egypt, why they were so difficult to get out.
Yes, yes.
They had demonic influences that go back to the giants.
One of the things that I really found interesting, and Mike was instrumental in helping our understanding here, was why Joshua targeted certain areas mm-hmm. in the Holy Land.
And why he went in the order he did.
And why he went in the order he did, exactly.
Yes, well, we're not going to delay this any longer. We're going to go right to part one with Dr. Michael Heiser.
You've said in some of your presentations that I've seen, commenting on the Bible, that if it's weird, if it's in the Bible and it's weird, it's important. Why?
Well, I think a lot of those sorts of passages reflect, you know, an ancient worldview. And I think they're all good reminders of the fact that the people who God inspired, you know, to write scripture and produce it, they weren't us. I mean, they looked at the world a lot differently than we do. And so often these weird passages inform us of a different perspective, and often it's a supernatural worldview as well. And they remind us that, you know, hey, if we're going to really interpret scripture well, we can't filter it through, you know, the modern lens of our denomination or even, you know, who we are as Western, you know, people, you know, post-Enlightenment, you know, modern people. So I think the weird stuff not only gives us really profound information in many regards, but they're just a healthy reminder of how we need to, you know, approach this thing we call the Bible in the right way. You know, we can talk about interpreting context all, you know, interpreting in context all we want, but that means a whole lot more than looking at the verses that are before and after the one you're looking at and remembering that they used pots, you know, back in the Bible days and, you know, they rode camels. Okay, that's wonderful. But what we really need to do is get into their mindset, their worldview. And the strange passages force us to do that if we want to handle scripture well.
One of the weirdest aspects of the Bible is, pops up within the first six chapters of Genesis mm-hmm. 6, verses 1 through 4. It's been debated for literally thousands of years now, where the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair and took wives of any they chose. Giants. Did giants really exist, and why are they woven through the narrative of the Old Testament?
Yeah, the short answer is yes, they did, at least if we assign, you know, passages like Genesis 6 and Numbers 13 and Deuteronomy 2 and 3, if we want to assign authority to what we read in the Bible, the answer is yes. Now, you mentioned that this passage has been debated for a couple thousand years. Well, the funny thing is it wasn't debated in ancient Israel or in the period between the Testaments, what we call the Second Temple period, before, you know, when the Old Testament ends, the New Testament begins. This is actually one of the few things that you can look at in that period. And there's multiple strains of Judaism, just like there are multiple strains of Christianity today, you know, Protestant, Catholic, Orthodox, and Protestants, about 100 varieties. Back then, this is one of the few subjects where everybody agreed. So it was not a debatable thing. Peter, 2 Peter, you know, in our New Testament is part of this period, the Second Temple period. And he very clearly, you know, links angels that sin to the period of the flood and Noah. There is no other candidate other than Genesis 6. And that transgression of, you know, heaven and earth produced the Nephilim. And the Nephilim, again, you know, have other, you know, descendants that go by different names. But, you know, if we're going to take this seriously, if we're going to take scripture seriously, you know, we need to basically let the text speak to us, you know, and, you know, sometimes the text actually means what it says. And again, this is one of those things. I think it's important because, you know, let's just isolate the answer to the giants. What is produced out of Genesis 6 is a lethal threat, you know, to the people of Israel. And I personally believe, and I talk about this in Unseen Realm a lot, that the rationale for the conquest, specifically the verbs of killing, you know, and extermination there, they are oriented around places where the descendants of the Nephilim were found and spotted and where they lived. So I think that the rationale of the conquest is driven by the need, the impulse to eliminate these descendants. And, you know, there's lots of reasons why, but, you know, basically because this is one of the great rebellions of primeval days, according to the Bible. And it leads to the rise of demons. It leads to, you know, false teaching. Genesis 6, 1 through 4 leads to Genesis 6, 5. There's a thorough corruption of humanity. These things are all linked together. So it's important for those reasons. And what's really interesting is you get who eliminates the Nephilim. You get Moses, Joshua, and David. You know, the vestiges of the giant clans are wiped out during the time of David with Goliath and his brothers. And all three of those Old Testament figures are types. They're foreshadowings of the Messiah. And I don't think that is a coincidence at all, because the Nephilim is one thing, but the other half, the other part of the Genesis 6 rebellion is, again, the demonic. And that's something that Jesus is going to take care of, you know, when, you know, he comes, you know, in his incarnation, does his ministry. He goes to these areas where, you know, the giants, you know, formerly ran around in the Old Testament. And he does certain things, again, acts of spiritual warfare that tie into this. So it actually informs a number of passages, a number of episodes in both Testaments.
So the war then against the war of conquest to take Canaan was directed primarily at descendants of or those that were beholden to the giants. But also, yeah. I want to go back to the question of Jesus when we get done with this. So don't let me forget the demonic. You mentioned that. What's the link between the giants and the demonic? But first, let's address this. Joshua's war directed specifically at eliminating the remnant of the giants in Canaan?
Yeah, and here's why I say that. If you actually look up the verbs, you know, I'm a scholar, so we do things like look at verbs. If you actually look these up in the conquest account, there are verbs of killing for sure. There's, you know, three or four, you know, main, you know, words for that. But there are also other verbs like to dispossess, drive out. So it's not that everybody who lives there has to be exterminated. I mean, you could drive people out and it's still mission accomplished. But if you look at the verbs of killing and where in the conquest account those verbs are used, they are all in places where the Anakim or the Rephaim were spotted. And again, I don't think that's a coincidence. If the whole conquest actually begins with the giant stuff, because on their way to Canaan to take the land, there's this episode in Numbers 13 where it launches the 40 years of wilderness wandering. This is when the ten spies say we can't, you know, take the land, and two, you know, Joshua and Caleb say we can. Well, what's the issue? The presence of the Anakim. And so their failure there launches their 40 years of wilderness wanderings. And then when they come back, God tells them specifically to go up the Transjordan. And God tells Moses, look, don't worry about the Moabites. Don't worry about the Ammonites. Why? Because the children of Esau have already eliminated the giant clans there, the Amim, the Zamzumim, the Zuzim. He lists them out. And he says to Moses, what I want you to do is go up to Bashan. Why? Because that's the last of the Rephaim there. In the Transjordan, it's Og and, you know, Sion. And so they do that. And then when they cross into the land, that's when you get the conquest that we think of occur. And again, the verbs of extermination and killing happen to be, what a coincidence, happened to be in the places where these, you know, individuals are said to live. And at the end of the conquest, at least in Joshua's mind, in Joshua 11, he defines the conquest this way. You know, here's victory in Joshua's definition. This is Joshua 11 around verse 22 or so. It says, there are no more Anakim in the land. Okay, two thumbs up. You know,
yeah, yeah.
There's no more Anakim in the land, except the ones that got away to the Philistine cities. And look where we find them later.
That's right. You know, 400 years
Goliath
later.
Goliath and his brothers, and David mops up the job. So the whole discussion is oriented around getting rid of these chaos agents. Okay, and I'm not talking about Maxwell Smart here. what I'm talking about is the Nephilim and their descendants are viewed specifically as rival imagers. Okay, the sons of God want to create their own, you know, populations, their own imagers, like, you know, God created his imagers, humanity, back in Eden, specifically to rival and oppose what God wants to do through his own people that emerge, you know, from, again, these Genesis 1 through 11 events, and that is Israel. So you have the vestiges of the forces of evil in the form of these Nephilim, at least at this time, and they are a lethal threat to God's plan to occupy Canaan, very specifically. We, you know, if we had an hour here, we could talk about why Canaan and where the indigenous giant clans, where they come from. I mean, there are reasons for all this, but, you know, this is very easy for us to read over. If an ancient Israelite who was literate, you know, who knew his Bible and, you know, knew, you know, the sort of the historical circumstances, if they were listening to this interview, we'd probably have to wake them up right now. Okay, because this would be just out of the gate, you know, we know this. Like, tell
Theology
us something
101.
New.
Yeah.
But again, we don't have that worldview. We're not tuned into the context. And that's why the weird stuff, again, is important. It forces you to think about how they looked at the world. And, you know, ask yourself the question, am I really willing to interpret the Bible in its ancient context or not?
With just a couple of minutes left, you connected Jesus and the demons that he cast out to the giants of Genesis 6. Again, with just a couple of minutes, what's the link there?
Yeah, all ancient Jewish traditions in the Second Temple period link demons to the Genesis 6 episode. Specifically, a demon was defined as the disembodied spirit of one of the dead giants, one of the dead giant clans. And everybody has that definition, again, in this period. And you say, well, that's non-biblical. Well, you have to realize they're interpreting their Bible, okay, when they write this stuff. So where do they get it? There are a few passages that have, like Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 32, that have, you know, the Nephilim or the Rephaim in Sheol, in the underworld. So that you have disembodied dead, you know, giants that they were the demons. This is where they get the idea. And so they seek re-embodiment. They're not like the sons of God that are imprisoned. Their spawn, as it were, the spiritual spawn, are free to roam around, and they seek to possess people. This is one of the reasons why they're called unclean spirits, by the way. And in my demons book, I have a reference to a dissertation. It's now published on this. But demons are called unclean spirits because uncleanness in the Levitical Israelite worldview was about forbidden mixturing. And that's what they are. The Dead Sea Scrolls calls them bastard spirits because that's what they are. You know, Peter, why does Peter link false teaching, you know, to the angels that sin? Because, again, that's part of, you know, the tradition here with demons. So there's a lot of things just going on underneath the text that are very easy for us to just read over because we don't have all this other stuff in our head. And that's what I try, you know, to get people to do, you know, when they study their Bible, to try to, you know, get your mind back into the ancient world and just see what happens.
That was extraordinary. I cannot wait for the other three episodes, and I know that you guys feel the same way, but guess what? You can get more stuff that Mike Heiser has prepared, and one of those, we have a special package.
Yes.
Did you know that? It's right in here. Tom put it in here. Special package. Happen to have them here.
Awesome. Well, we'll talk about these, and then we'll show you how you can get them in just a few minutes, but Mike has... For many years now, been talking about and writing about and preaching and teaching about the importance of the Book of Enoch and its influence on the rest of the Bible. And Mike has very graciously written a couple of commentaries now, or what he's calling companions to the Book of Enoch, two editions, Volume 1 and Volume 2, which, again, help understand which parts of the Book of Enoch are really relevant to us in our study of the Bible.
Yes.
There's a reason that the Book of Enoch is not in the canon of Scripture.
Right, but it is quoted.
It is quoted, yes. And so this package will include both of Mike's books and the R.H. Charles translation of the Book of First Enoch.
It's a hardcover book.
Hardcover,
nice.
Yes. So you can basically dig into this a little bit more and understand why this was referenced by Peter and Jude in the New Testament, and the influence of this weird text that was really forgotten until it was rediscovered within the last 150 years.
The Lord is opening up truths to help prove the Bible, but also to help us understand a lot of the end times prophecies. I believe that the reemergence and the translation in the late 19th century of the Book of Enoch is part of that. But you also will get a DVD.
Oh, yes. Brilliant young man, Stephen Bancars, who came out of the New Age movement. He was one of the most popular New Age teachers on the internet, was making enough money just through his website that he had
a big house, a really nice
car. And then he got radically saved and understands now the truth.
Praise God.
Yeah. Well, Stephen talked with Dr. Michael Heiser about the Book of Enoch and why it is relevant. And this is a wonderful addition to this. It's a great addition for people who are really unfamiliar with the Book of Enoch and why it is relevant. If you've got skeptics or people who have never heard of the Book of Enoch before, this is a good way to expose them to it, help them to understand why it is relevant. And then, of course, you've got Mike's commentaries, the companion, the two-volume companion, and the Book of Enoch. We're going to tell you exactly how you can get this for yourself and come back in just a moment on the Bible's Greatest Mysteries.
Call now and get the companion to the Book of Enoch Special Collection, featuring the original Book of Enoch in beautifully bound hardback edition and both of Dr. Michael Heiser's groundbreaking companion guides to the Book of Enoch, along with the shocking expose, Fallen Angels and Ancient Aliens on DVD. This is an exclusive offer for our SkyWatch television audience. Yours for a donation of $35 plus shipping and handling. Volumes 1 and 2 of the Companion Guides to Enoch unveil what most of the modern church has never heard regarding how the sin of the watchers in Enoch 6 through 16 helped frame the mission of Jesus, how the descriptions of the Antichrist, the Messiah, the end times day of the Lord, and the final judgment connect to Genesis 6 and the Nephilim. This and so much more. Plus, you will also receive on DVD the Book of Enoch, Fallen Angels and Ancient Aliens, an exclusive production with Dr. Michael Heiser regarding the blatant lies of ancient astronaut theory and the horrifying nature of fallen angels and alien abduction. This DVD is a must-have. But that's not all. You'll also receive the beautifully printed hardback edition of the original historical Book of Enoch from Defender Publishing, perfect for assisting serious researchers and students in the study of the Bible and the early age. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of $90. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. Whether you've read the Book of Enoch or want to journey through it for the first time, without a doubt, you'll find the companion to the Book of Enoch Special Collection absolutely essential. Order now at SkyWatchTVStore.com or call 1-844-750-4985.
The Bible's Greatest Mysteries is part of SkyWatch TV. Follow us online at SkyWatchTV.com.
Don't let that pass without taking advantage of this offer. Dr. Michael Heiser and his scholarly expertise explaining why this text that most of us in the church have never heard of before is relevant to our understanding of biblical theology. It is not just some weird text that gives a real fantastic or sensationalist spin on the text of the Bible. It helps understand what the prophets and the apostles knew about the world around
them. It absolutely does. And make... You know, you can call the SkyWatch TV store if you want to. You can go online to the SkyWatchTVStore.com. But do it now, because I don't know how many of these items we have left.
Yeah. We offered this previously through SkyWatch TV itself, the main program. But with the programs, the interviews with Mike Heiser featured over the next few weeks here on the Bible's Greatest Mysteries, we wanted to bring this back and offer this especially for you. So please take advantage of this. We also have some other news that we want to talk about for later this year, some very exciting news.
But before we get to that exciting news, I just want to remind everybody, last month in February, you were watching four programs with Doug Petrovich
that were
so incredibly good. And we've gotten a lot of emails from you guys because you've enjoyed his information so much. If you are interested in getting Doug's book, you need to order it now, because we are down just to three or four copies. Seriously, three or four copies. So call the SkyWatch TV store or go online at SkyWatchTVStore.com, and you will see... can you put a link at the bottom?
Sure.
A QRS code or something?
I'll put a QR code that'll take them right to the offer.
A QR code. Yes, that way it's easy. You can just scan that with your phone.
Yeah, just point it at the screen and it'll take you right to the link for the offer. But all the cool kids are using QR codes these days. So,
clearly,
you know.
I'm not a cool kid. QRS. See, that shows my medical training. That's the little line when you do your heart rate.
Okay.
Yes, so anyway, we are going to be offering that, and don't forget to call in for the Mike Heiser. But Turkey.
Yes, we have dates for the Turkey tour, and this is not a tour of visiting a poultry farm or anything like that. Turkey, the country, which has so much history to it and biblical and archaeological, historical importance, October 19th through November 2nd of 2022, Sharon and I, along with author Doug Hershey, who's the author of the best-selling books Israel Rising and Jerusalem Rising, will be leading a tour of the Churches of Revelation, visiting those cities. We'll also visit Göbekli Tepe. We will visit Abraham's hometown, Haran, and possibly Sanliurfa, which is a candidate for being Ur of the Chaldees.
Possibly. It's an archaeology tour,
yes,
in many ways. It's going to be like a conference on wheels. So if you are interested in going, you need to let us know right away, bgm@skywatchtv.com. Mm-hmm. Just say, I want to go to Turkey, and we will give you that information because we are only taking about 24 people with us.
Right.
And we've already got about 10 people who want to go.
Exactly, including some of Doug's relatives, I understand. So we're,
yes,
looking forward to this because this is going to be a really eye-opening tour because prophetically, obviously, the Churches of Revelation have significance. But as our friends Dr. Aaron Judkins and Dr. Judd Burton argue in their forthcoming book, Göbekli Tepe, maybe, which archaeologists call the world's oldest temple, may show evidence of the Watcher's influence on humanity in the pre-flood era.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll visit in the city of Sanliurfa, an archaeological museum with artifacts from Göbekli Tepe, but also from Karahan Tepe, which is even older than Göbekli Tepe.
Over the next few weeks, we're going to sort of dig into some of the sites, pun intended, and tell you in more detail some of these sites and what you'll find there. So if you're interested, bgm@skywatchtv.com. But you can also send us just a note and give us your questions. And in a few weeks, we'll have another what we call the Blather Shows, where just Derek and I sit down and we answer your questions and we go over the news of the day.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of exciting things coming in 2022 as travel restrictions ease. As of now, the only restriction for going to Turkey is a negative PCR test, which is a good thing.
I know, and I think that's going to disappear because it's,
right,
also disappearing from other countries.
Yes. So we're looking forward to getting out and doing some on-the-ground research and then sharing that excitement with you as we are finally able to get out into the field and put eyes on some of the Bible's greatest mysteries.